Good morning, and it is a good morning. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day when Christ rose again. This is the day when Christ will come again into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Today we get to celebrate Christ's sacrifice for us and his victory over death as we gather around the table of communion later. A special welcome to all those visiting us this morning. Happy Easter to everyone. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's welcome our Zoomers and wish them happy Easter as well. So Christine, Teen, Pat and Norman, or we can't see him at the moment. So welcome. Happy Easter. Bless you all. Good you can join us on Zoom this morning. Let's stand and sing our opening hymn of worship. Come sing of the springtime. Please be seated. See, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. We've just sung about being laid low by the difficulties and pains of life. We welcome Jesus' answer to our suffering and our difficulty. The way that God has come to us in Jesus and has overcome darkness and death. So as we prepare to worship together, let's be quiet for a moment as we anticipate and know that Jesus wants to meet with us. The risen Jesus is here and wants to speak with us and greets us personally. So let's be quiet and pray silently. Let's gather up our prayers this Easter morning as we join together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I was going to say at this point that it's time for the young people to leave us a bit earlier, but I don't think they're with us as yet. will they join us? I'm not sure, but yeah, we'll see. Okay. So what I thought we'd do for the little ones is have an Easter egg hunt this morning. We're looking for. Hang on, I should have got one of these. Whoops. There we are. This is what we're looking for. Okay. And they're down the front here, so the little ones are going to have to come out and have a little hunt around for these Easter eggs. And I know that, yes, we haven't got any Caleb or Joshua here, have we? So I think either Caleb or Joshua's got an allergy to cut chocolate, so we've got something different for them, but not sure he's here this morning either. So, but anyway, so yes. So there's plenty of chocolate Easter eggs for people to find down here, if you'd like to come and join me. The little ones might need to come with your parents actually, so so if you come down the front pew or the front pews and sit down here, that'd be great. Oh yeah, give us a wave, that's it, good. Is the man going to come down and join us? Oh, I am. Okay. Sorry, yes, I've got a bit of a traffic jam here. That's it. There we are. Come and sit at the front. That's it. Well done, Siobhan. Thank you. That's it. Wonderful. Okay. That's it. Let's sit here. That's it. Now then, you might want to see if you can find one of these. They're kind of hidden underneath some of these cushions and things. Okay, so we might have a little look around. There's plenty of there's actually more than enough for you two anyway, so we've got plenty down here, so yeah, see what you find. You might want to save those for a bit, but anyway, so, okay, excellent, you found some, that's good. While you're down here, I was going to read you an Easter story, a special Easter story, so if you want to stay here for a moment. And we've actually got the front cover of this Easter story. This is the Easter Swallows, which I'm going to read to us all, and hopefully we'll, on the screen, we'll see some of the pages, so hopefully everyone else can follow as well. But okay, so here we are. This is a story called The Easter Swallows. Okay, the swallows were chattering in a quiet garden. I should have said it's a story about long tail and short tail. Okay, so the swallows were chattering in a quiet garden. It's springtime, sang long tail to his wife. Shall we build a nest beside this empty cave? Oh yes, said Shorttail, we can have a nest full of baby swallows. Longtail nodded his black head, and they will have a wonderful view of the great city of Jerusalem. Come along then, let's find some mud to build the nest. The two swallows soared up over the olive trees and down into a muddy field where the two donkeys were tethered. There's a donkey, see the donkey? Yeah, here we are. They were tethered together, and backwards and forwards these swallows flew, carrying great globules of mud in their beaks. As they were building their nests, two men came to fetch the baby donkey. Is that right? Yep, okay. You got some chocolate? Well done, brilliant. Where are you going, little donkey? Asked the swallows. To carry a great king into Jerusalem, he brayed. I've never been given a ride to anyone before. Who is this king? The swallows twittered. Shall we go and see? The swallows flew to the city gate and joined a crowd of noisy sparrows in a leafy tree. Here comes Jesus, our gentle king, shouted the people down below. Look, he's riding on a little donkey. Hurry, let's cover the dusty road with our cloaks, called a man. But who is Jesus? Shorttail asked the sparrows. Jesus is the Son of God, they chirped. He's the one who takes care of all his creatures, even the small birds like us. And then, oh well, there's a picture of the people with palm branches. Yeah, there we are. Jesus made my little sister well again, said a boy. He told us a lovely story, added some children who were waving palm branches. Look, there you are, waving palm branches. There you are. The two swallows watched with bright eyes as Jesus rode towards them, and Shorttail was quite sure that Jesus smiled up at her. The happy swallows returned to the quiet garden and set to work once more. As the days went by and the muddy nest grew bigger, the swallows listened eagerly to the other birds in the garden chattering about Jesus. He saved my life once, sang a lark. A fierce wind blew me out over the stormy lake, but Jesus told the wind and the waves to calm down, and I found my way home again. There we are. There's Jesus in the boat in the storm, calming the storm. That's it. I saw him feed 5,000 hungry people with just 5 little loaves and 2 fish, chirped a sparrow. And there are plenty of crumbs left over for us birds. There they are, eating the crumbs. All that work has made me hungry, said Shorttail at last. Let's fly over the city walls to find some food. The hungry pair soon spotted some breadcrumbs on a windowsill. Eat up, said Longtail to his wife. You must keep up your strength. But Shorttail was peering through the window into the upstairs room. Look, it's our friend Jesus, she cried happily. He's having some supper with his friends. Suddenly, one of the men with Jesus left the room and ran down some stone steps. That's Judas, said Longtail. Look at him frowning. I wonder what he's going to do. There we are. There's Judas leaving the upper room. Okay. It was getting late. Oh, yeah. It's, oh, no. Yeah. Back one. Back one. It was getting late now, but the two swallows were worried about their friend Jesus, so they followed him into a garden called Gethsemane that was full of olive trees. You can see this picture up there on the screen. Please stay awake and keep me company while I pray, Jesus begged his friends. But they were much too tired, and they soon fell asleep. We'll stay awake with Jesus, agreed the birds. He seems lonely and afraid. There they are, the two birds, Longtail and Shorttail, with Jesus while he prays in the olive garden. That's it. In the night, Judas brought some Roman soldiers stamping into the garden. Where is Jesus? They shouted, the one who calls himself a king. Here I am, said Jesus, but please don't hurt my friends. The soldiers took hold of Jesus and marched him away. Longtail was angry. So that's what Judas was doing, he said. I thought he was supposed to be Jesus' friend. Early the next morning, the swallows found Jesus at the palace. Oh, do you want to come and join us at the front here? You can come and join us if there's enough space, just about. I'll move the... And you might actually find some of these as well, actually, around the place. So you might want to be Chris and Afriya, you might want to look for these, okay? Yeah. So if you want to come and join us, that's it. Lovely. That's brilliant. We're just halfway through this story about the Easter swallows. Chris, you want to come over there, see if we can find some of these? Early next morning, the swallows found Jesus at the palace. A crowd of angry people were shouting, kill him, take him away and put him on a cross. Why do they want to kill Jesus? Asked Shorttail. He hasn't done anything wrong. They don't believe he is the Son of God, explained Longtail. Then the soldiers made a crowd out of thorny branches and put it on his head. At this, the swallows flew down to try and lift it off, but a soldier waved his sword at them and frightened them away. There we are, trying to help Jesus, those two swallows. Longtail took Shorttail back to the quiet garden. You were very brave, he said proudly, but now you must be braver still. Shorttail looked down the path. The soldiers were making Jesus carry a heavy cross up the hill. He often slipped and fell. Yes, there's another one there, isn't there? That one's mine. That one's mine. What are they doing? What are they going to do to Jesus? She whispered. I'm afraid they're going to kill him, said Longtail. That dreadful Friday, the soldiers put Jesus on a cross between two other crosses. They left him there to die. Then the afternoon sky turned black as night and the ground shook. Longtail and Shorttail hid their heads under their wings. Please forgive them, Father, Jesus prayed, and then he died. Did you hear that? Asked Shorttail sorrowfully. Now they will know that Jesus was more than just a good man. In the evening, one of Jesus' friends came to put his body in the cave. Then he rolled a big stone in front of the cave to close it. Good night, he said softly to a lady called Mary Magdalene, who was crying in the garden. The swallows sat beside the big stone, feeling very gloomy. Don't be sad, said Longtail, putting his head on one side. But my heart is broken, replied Shorttail. Jesus is dead. Who will look after the birds now? As soon as the stars began to fade on Sunday morning, the swallows woke up and saw that the cave was open. The stone was rolled to one side. You see it there? Here we are. There's the cave with the stone rolled away. And there's an angel there as well. The swallows fluttered inside the cave, but they were surprised to see that it was empty. "Don't worry," said an angel with feathery wings. "Jesus is not dead anymore. He's alive." There we are. You see that picture? The angel talking to the swallows. The puzzled swallows flew back into the garden. Suddenly it was full of sunshine. Flowers opened their petals and birds began to sing. Mary was there, but she wasn't crying anymore. She was smiling at someone. "It's Jesus," exclaimed Longtail. "He's alive, he's alive." "Oh, Jesus, friend of all the birds, everyone's friend and king, you're alive," sang Shorttail. No one but the Son of God could come back to life again. And not long after that, Longtail and Shorttail were the proud parents of four baby swallows, all opening their beaks for more food in their beautiful Easter nest. There we are. See them? See little babies? All going squawk, squawk for more food. That's right, in their lovely new nest. And there we are. That's the story of the Easter swallows for us today. That's it. Okay, thanks very much. Okay. All got chocolate, that's good. Good, excellent. We're now going to sing. We're going to reflect upon this wonderful news, the good news of Easter. How deep the Father's love for us is our first song. Thank you. is, Lord. We'll continue to give thanks to God now as we collect and bring our offering to the Lord. Thank you. After we've taken up the offering, the children will go to their group, Children's Church. Thank you. Please stand. Heavenly Father, we know there is no way we can repay you for the gift of your Son, your precious Son, and for all you've given us. But we do want to express our thanks to you today, this Easter Sunday. We bring these gifts and gifts given in other ways. And we pray now for the children as they go to their group, that together we would know the joy of Easter. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Amen. That's it. I forgot to give them these. Oh. Right, they are coming. I've got these Happy Easter leaflets to give to you as well, actually. I forgot to give you earlier, so if you take one of these each as well. There you go, Chris. You want to take that? That's it. There you go. And for eight, that's it. Wonderful. There we go. You want that one? That's it. There you go. Right, bless you. Right. Thank you. And now, time for the notices. Over to Kathleen. Thank you.
Hi. There are just a couple of notices this week that I wish to bring to your attention. Firstly, our Minister Colin will be on holiday next week, so if anybody is in need of pastoral care, the first point of contact will be Pat and Teen. And the other thing I'd like to bring to your attention, it's not till Sunday the 28th of April, so it is a full month away, and I will be reminding you along the weeks, that after the service between 12 and 1, there'll be an extraordinary church meeting. And this is to discuss the future work of our Children and Families Worker together with the related fundraising. So it is rather important for our church, as you can imagine, and I'll keep reminding you week on week until the meeting arrives.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Kathleen. Just a couple of other things to mention quickly. First of all, after our service this morning, you'll see there's prayer stations either side of the church. There'll be people here to pray with people if there's anything you feel you need to have someone to pray with you about, then those are the places to go after our service this morning. And finally, one last thing to say. I mentioned this last week, but I also want to mention it today. There are these Listening Day booklets that were produced from our Listening Day about sexuality and faith. So there are a few copies there. If you'd like to pick one up and read and pray over that, that'd be wonderful. Okay, thanks so much. So we have our first reading. This is both readings are from Luke chapter 24. So over to Borgia for our first reading. Thank you.
The first reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. And this can be found in the Church Bibles on page 1061. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Barbara. Our next hymn, "Lo, in the Grave He Lay." Our second reading from Luke 24. Over to Colin now.
Continuing the reading from Luke, That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Colin. My talk this morning is entitled, "Running Towards, Walking Away, Staying Together, Going Beyond." Well, the women at least were ready. They had prepared spices to embalm the body of Jesus with. They got up very early. They are on a mission to pay their last respects to their Lord. After having just witnessed him suffer an excruciating and publicly shaming death, they thought they were prepared. They'd put everything in place, practically, but still their minds must have been all over the place. I don't think that any of them were really mentally in the right frame of mind for the grim task that they thought was facing them. Hallelujah. The good news of Jesus for us and for all time. None of these women was in any way prepared. They certainly weren't prepared for what was about to unfold in the garden which held the tomb of Jesus. They did not expect to see the stone rolled away from the entrance. They did not expect to hear the challenge of the angels Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Their unbelieving ears could not take in the news. He is not here, he is risen, just as he told you. So the women rush back to share this news, and the other disciples echo the women's unbelief, only more so. All of them are in complete disarray. They don't know what to think, who to believe. They don't know whether they're coming or going. A picture of perfect confusion. Something we too can certainly relate to. We would have been just the same. Peter is chosen by Luke to epitomize this whirlwind of emotions. One moment Peter is running to the tomb. The next moment we leave him physically wandering around and mentally wondering about all these things. Two other disciples end up walking away from Jerusalem, talking despondently about the events they had just been a part of. Why on earth would you be walking away from Jerusalem at a time like this? That aside, they just don't know whether they are coming or going, or what to make of any of this. What will become of them? Peter was just the same. The words of the women seemed like nonsense to him. Nevertheless, what they shared was enough to stir Peter from his numbing sense of grief and guilt. He got up and ran. Running to the tomb, Peter did not expect to see the stone rolled away. He did not expect to see Jesus. He did not expect to see those grave clothes neatly folded in the tomb. Can you imagine this? Just after being raised to new life, Jesus with a smile on his face, neatly folding the grave clothes that once bound him. Jesus certainly had a sense of humor, a sense of occasion. Hallelujah. Good Friday and Easter Sunday show us humanity and all creation in extremis. We see all the extremes of creation's experience in sharp relief, all bound up together. Fear and courage, despair and joy, faith and unbelief, suffering and hope, betrayal and faithfulness, brokenness and healing, life and death, cross and resurrection. The extremes of all human experience are here in the Easter story and are equally embraced by God. As the Apostle Paul was to later write, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not death nor life, not angels nor demons, not all the powers on earth or in heaven. None of these things. Whatever you can think of, nothing can separate us from the love of God demonstrated for us through Jesus. Demonstrated for us by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pick up the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus walked with them. Jesus talked with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus' gentle sense of humor is once again evident with the question he first asked them. What are you talking about? What things have happened in these days? Do you not know, says the astonished Cleopas. Little does he know that he is about to move to a whole new level of astonishment. You must be the only one in these parts who doesn't know about these things, he goes on. How he and his companion must have laughed and perhaps been appalled about what they first said to Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They did not see Jesus, neither the women nor Peter, nor these two on the road to Emmaus. None of them saw Jesus. And then, when these two did see Jesus for the first time after his death, Jesus promptly disappears. I wonder if we're like these two disciples and the rest of them. How much are we like them ourselves? I wonder if we're like this now, this Easter, still stuck in Easter Saturday, still not seeing Jesus, even though our Lord is risen and among us. We can clearly see evidence that Jesus is risen. Just look around you. We can see something of Jesus in the bricks and mortar of this church building. We can see Jesus in creation and the new life of spring. We can see Jesus in our sisters and brothers in Christ sitting next to us. We can see Jesus in the stories of each of our lives. We can see the risen Jesus in the stories of the Bible. We can see Jesus in the Holy Spirit who continues to be present and at work in people and in our world. We can see Jesus here, present among us, in bread and wine. Part of me is surprised that these two disciples didn't recognize Jesus sooner. When Jesus rebuked them for their foolishness and their slowness of heart to believe, this is a clear reminder of how Jesus spoke to the disciples during his ministry. But they do begin to be reminded of Jesus as they listen to him, opening the scriptures to them on the way. I love this description of how their hearts burned within them as Jesus spoke with them and opened their hearts and minds. Little wonder these two beg their wonderful stranger to stay with them. Little wonder that Jesus is finally recognized by them when he breaks bread for them. Little wonder Jesus moves on from this encounter. Little wonder Jesus is looking to go beyond, as always. Jesus has already gone far beyond anyone's expectations in laying down his life for our sins. Jesus has gone far beyond our limited expectations by making a spectacle of all the powers of darkness on the cross. Jesus has gone far beyond our tiny minds by triumphing over death and being raised to new life, exalted far above all things. Hallelujah. We see Christ crucified in his broken body and blood today. We see the risen Jesus when he personally breaks bread for us today. We see the risen Jesus in the one body of Christ we are part of. Today we hear the Holy Spirit amongst us declaring the peace of Christ. I love the way Luke puts it here at the end of our passage. While they were still talking and discussing all these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." We no longer have to live in Good Friday or Easter Saturday. Jesus has gone beyond for us. We can walk together with him into the new life of a new day. Like the women, like Peter, like Cleopas, we're called to get up, to run, to walk, to wonder, to share together, to believe, to worship in spirit and in truth. Sisters and brothers in Christ, I say, peace be with you. This Easter Sunday morning, along with the angels, the women and the other disciples, we proclaim, Christ has risen. He is risen from the dead once and for all, for us and all creation. Hallelujah. Are you ready to move on from Easter Saturday? Are we ready to be confronted by the risen Jesus today? As we prepare to join together in sharing bread and wine, I would like to read to you one of George Herbert's poems, simply entitled Love. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I the unkind, ungrateful? Ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Thanks be to God. As we prepare to gather around the Lord's table now, we're going to sing another song. Alleluia, alleluia. Give thanks to the risen Lord. Please be seated. God has made us a people. We have been shaped by God's will. Jesus calls us together. We meet in Jesus' name. The Spirit binds us together and leads us into all truth. So look, here is the Lord's table, spread as for a feast, bread for breaking, wine poured for drinking, signs of his love and hospitality, symbols of his life broken, his blood poured out. He is not dead. He is risen and present among us, evidence of God's covenant grace and promise. So we come in faith to the table, you and I, companions on the journey, some of us fresh and eager, others weary in need of nourishment, all of us conscious of our failings, conscious too of your determined love in action through Jesus, which casts out fear. Come now, don't hesitate. The feast is ready, and the Lord himself invites you. This table is open to all those who love the Lord Jesus and seek to follow him in their daily lives. If you don't feel you're able, for whatever reason this morning, to take the bread and wine, please allow the bread and wine to pass as it comes round. It was the night of the Passover, and Jesus and his friends were sharing supper together. While they were eating, he told them that one of them would betray him. They were appalled and protested, saying, "Not I, Lord, I would never betray you." Jesus took some bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this and eat. This is my body." He took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, passed it among them, saying as they drank, "This is my blood of the covenant. It is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I will not drink again until the day comes when I drink with you in my Father's kingdom." Aki is now going to lead us in a prayer of thanks for this bread and wine. Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together and for the Holy Spirit being among us. Thank you for this bread and wine that we are about to take. We ask you to bless this bread and wine, that we may be reminded that through Christ's death and resurrection, we are saved. Thank you, Jesus, for looking at us and saying our salvation is worth the sacrifice you made. Thank you for your love and grace, that we are able to come back to you daily for the renewing of our minds. We hand over the rest of today and the coming week into your hands. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Please eat the bread as you receive it with thanksgiving. Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." Let's keep hold of the cups and drink together, for we are one body. This is the cup of salvation. Thanks be to God. Holy God, we have been nourished and had our thirst quenched through bread broken and wine poured in thanksgiving for your Son, Jesus Christ. Journey with us into this week, we pray. Send us out to be as generous to those we meet this week, that we might show through word and deed that he is not dead, but risen and present among us. Alleluia. Amen. We're going to sing now. In Christ alone my strength is found. Let's rejoice, continue to rejoice in the goodness of God as we celebrate that we find strength in Christ alone.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we remember today how you rose again, bringing new beginnings out of what had seemed the end, a new chapter in the life of your church that is still being written today. We recall how your resurrection changed life for the disciples, calling them to let go of the past and embrace the future. Their role no longer simply to follow, but to lead, to go out in your risen power and proclaim the good news. We know that life must change for us too, but sometimes it is harder than we first anticipated. Moving on, proving a painful business, asking more of us than we feel able to give. Take all that has been and direct all that shall be, we pray. Reach out to all who are finding endings hard to bear. We think of those reeling from the termination of employment, the breakdown of a relationship, or eviction from their homes. Take all that has been and direct all that shall be. We think of those whose children are leaving home, family and friends moving away from each other, communities facing the upheaval of change. Take all that has been and direct all that shall be, we pray. We think of those coming to terms with unfulfilled ambitions, let down by broken promises, or overcome by a sudden catastrophe. Take all that has been and direct all that shall be. We think of those disabled by disease, those mourning the loss of loved ones or suffering from terminal illness. Take all that has been and direct all that shall be, we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, remind us all again today that endings can lead to new beginnings, that from the old, new life can spring. And may that confidence touch our lives and bring hope to our troubled world. Take all that has been and open our hearts to all that shall be, we pray. And Heavenly Father, on this Easter Sunday, we pray for those going through difficult times, that they would know your resurrection power and the light of your love at work in their lives. So we bring before you Norman and Pat Marlowe, Pauline and David Barham, Graham Tompkins, Anne and Tony Upton, Hilary and Anthony Donovan, Ekramina Arik and her family, Paul Harris and his family, Dervil and Gwyneth Richards, Eileen Huggett, Margaret Dolling, Kath McConaughey, Alan and Christine Phillips, John Neal and his family, Trevor and Janice Breckel, Fran Vickery and his sister Chrissy, Pat Johnson, Norma Richards and her family, Ken Gardner and his family, Andrew Brown and his family. And in the silence now, remember others before you. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus continues to intercede for us all. Amen. Yours be the glory, risen, conquering Son, is our closing hymn. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, thanks very much for being with us. Just before I pronounce the blessing to end our service, I just want to say a big thank you to everyone for coming, to those who've helped out with the service, our tech team and our musicians. I want to say also there is tea and coffee available afterwards, but it's not in the hall because the hall is otherwise employed at the moment. We've actually got tea and coffee in the front foyer, so if you want to stay for refreshments, do go there. But also to remind you that there will be people here on hand to pray with you either side of the church if you feel you need some prayer. This Easter time, may the God of hope fill us all with joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.